welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And this week we're doing audience choice, and boy howdy did you guys pick a doozy again. Sweet baby Jesus. We're doing Runaway Bride, and I have never, I'd never seen this movie before. Had you seen this movie before?
No, this is a first.
I don't know how this one missed me. And yep. Watching this, I was screaming the whole time. I was like, this isn't real. This is not a real movie.
I hated this movie.
I loved to hate it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed the hatred I felt towards it.
Fair enough. But this is a sort of hatred for me where it took me, like, four or five times to get through the whole thing.
Oh, like, no,
like
I
need to take a break. I need to walk around. I need to
I set the mood. I set the mood for this movie. I was like, this is a rom-com. I was like, I put on my fairy lights. I dimmed the rest of my lights in the room. I tucked myself into bed. I was like, ooh, yeah, let's have feelings. And then I had no feelings.
Maybe that was my mistake, because I sat at my computer desk and watched it because I could have it like it playing on one screen and my notes on the other.
Nah.
I'd sit in my office chair. Like, there were so many times we were like, I mean, I could go downstairs and get another snack, right? Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
only been 15 minutes since I got my last snack.
Oh my God, guys, this movie's out of control. If you haven't seen Runaway Bride, we've got it's a Richard Gere, Julia Roberts classic. Classic quotes. I don't know. Would we call this a classic?
I think they're trying to recreate the magic of Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah. And they had not. They had not. There's a lot of good people in this movie, and there's like a lot of like fun, weird scenes and stuff, but it's as a whole, collectively, my God. The idea is we've got Richard Gere, Ike. He is a journalist in New York, and he hates women. And women hate that he hates women, rightfully. And men kind of cheer him on a little bit. They're like, get the women. Get them. They've been having it good for too long. They can vote. Fuck them. And so he's trying to come up with his next idea. He meets this guy at a bar, and this guy tells him about this woman named Maggie Carpenter, the quote-unquote runaway bride, who has left, he says, 7 to 8 men at the altar. She's run away from them. Turns out to be 3. I would make the argument that's still much too high. But whatever. Okay. Whatever. So Ike writes this article just based off of just this man's whispers into his drunken ear. He writes an article about Maggie Carpenter, and Maggie reads it and writes to his boss basically saying, this is all inaccurate. This guy's supposed to be a journalist. I found 15 things that are wrong in this article. Do something about this. He gets fired. Oh, by the way, his boss is his ex-wife. Because why not? Why not? Let's just get it all. Let's get it all in there, right? So then his friend's like, you know what? Like, let's... Why don't you go and make this story, like, go get the real story, okay? Go get your job back. Go get the real story. He goes, Maggie's getting married to a coach, the high school football coach or whatever. I have to pause before this. This is the most insane scene I've ever seen in my entire life. I literally cannot believe that this has hit cinema ever. Okay, I can't. You know what scene I'm talking about. So Ike keeps like stalking this woman. She's showing up everywhere where she is. He's getting all this information on her in, like, I would say, very questionable ways. Anyway, and then this coach is like, knows that Maggie has like a commitment phobia. So he's like, I want to practice. I want to do a rehearsal one more time. One more time, I want to do a rehearsal. Let's practice this. Walk down the aisle. They get everybody's position switched up. He's like, why don't I be the priest? You just walk down towards Ike. And then they start making out in front of everyone when it comes to kiss time. And like in front of her fiance, the man she's supposed to marry. And he's like... What does Richard Gere say? He's like, you should wish us luck or something.
Yeah, what am I supposed to say, to that? Wish us luck?
Oh! Yeah. Oh! Oh my God. I was like, hit him. Hit him. And he did. Yeah. Okay, which is the correct, honestly, I don't think, violence is rarely the answer, but that man needed to get punched. I'm sorry. Anyway, so then he's like, we should get married in a week, which, why not? We just met. We should. So Ike and Maggie are going to get married, and then she ends up running away from him, and then eventually going back to see him and like kind of proposing to him, and they get back together, and that's the movie.
That's the happy ending, I guess.
I guess.
Woo!
It is, man alive. This movie is.
Yeah. And listeners, I will just point this out. You may have in Rebecca's recap of this. You may have been like, oh, did she forget the part where they fall in love? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. There's actually...
That's not part of the movie.
There's a couple of looks. There's like maybe a moment or two, but yeah.
It's not earned. It comes right out of nowhere. That's my biggest note for this is, why did these people fall in love? I still don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. I don't think it works. This movie made me scream the whole time. I was like, but I did enjoy hating it.
Okay.
I will say this. It bridged over past this is a bad movie too. This is a bad movie. This is exceptionally bad.
Yeah. And I would say I disliked it so much because there is not a single likable character in the entire thing.
Yeah.
I was not rooting for anybody.
No, every single person in this movie is absolute garbage, except for maybe Ike's boss, like his ex-wife.
Yeah.
I'm like, she seems like she's in a good relationship. She seems kind of cool.
Yeah, there may be some secondary characters that we're like, yeah, that'd be fine. But I guess we'll get to who we think the real villain, the true villain of this, or the intended villain of this movie is in a second. But first, we want to thank our sponsor for today's episode, TeePublic.com. Hey, do you like t-shirts? Do you like cool designs? Do you like... Do you like having weird nerdy shit on your t-shirts?
Absolutely. I'm a nerd. I'm weird. I like shit, for sure.
Well, then, yeah, head on over to teepublic.com where you are going to find like your next really cool design. You can put these things on t-shirts. You can put them on tank tops. You can put them on baseball shirts, mugs even, phone cases, notebooks, whatever you need. There's something there for you.
Yeah, pick your size, color, and fabric, which I like. Because if you're an itchy girl like I am, I want to pick my fabric, absolutely. All designs are made by indie artists getting a fair commission for their work. When you buy a t-shirt from TeePublic store, you are supporting an indie artist. Maybe like us. Maybe we're that indie artist. We've got designs. You should do that.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe you are you a listener of this podcast? You know how we stand on most romantic comedies, which is that the third option. So we do have a romantic comedy third option design that you can check out. And also, like, hey, maybe you're a big fan of Richard Gere. Maybe you're thinking, hey, Richard Gere's probably on the yum scale. Well, let's... No,
not after this movie. No.
No, well, but you can get a Rebecca triple yum scale design as well as a bunch of other stuff that we feature every week. So check that out.
Yeah, guys. So head on over to vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com to check out all our merch and favorite designs from TeePublic. That's vwrstore.fromsuperheroes.com. And thank you, TeePublic, for your continued support. And now let's talk about this goddamn movie. I can't. It's just so crazy to me. And I'm only going to mention this once. It's just so crazy to me that we watched this one and the Lego movie together.
Yes.
Because I am of the opinion that the Lego movie script is so tight and awesome.
Yes.
And it works so fucking well that watching this movie on the, like, watching those movies back to back, I was like, this is different.
Yes.
We came at this with a different type of pen. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, okay. Which is so strange. Yeah. I think this is probably the first time anybody's ever compared Runaway Bride to the Lego movie. But here we are.
But you need the palate cleanser every once in a while.
Oh, man.
So who did you peg as the... let's start. The intended villain of this movie.
God.
It's hard, right?
They're all so unlikable. I think, like, okay, so I think, like, Maggie's supposed to be, like, her own villain a bit. Like, okay. She's fighting her own thing. She's her own villain. I also think Ike's a villain. I think they're all villains. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
a conclusion I came to, too, where both of the main characters are villains in their own right.
Both of the main characters are villains. I would say, like, all of her exes are supposed to be villains because it's like, oh, they, like, never paid attention to you or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's
they
a hard
never,
sell.
They never really, like, noted what you wanted or whatever, but it's also like, no, all this woman does is bend to the will of whoever she's with. Like, it's like,
yeah.
That man literally asked you three times, like, how do you want your eggs?
Yeah, that's a big thing, the how do you want your eggs,
yes.
Which is crazy. I would argue that at the start of the movie, at least, we're supposed to think that Ike is the main character, mm-hmm. and that Maggie is therefore the villain because she makes him lose his job, right?
No, which but he needs to lose his job.
He does. It's a ridiculous
he needs to,
premise.
He does. This is the worst journalism I've ever seen in my entire life. He's sitting at a bar. It's so bad. It's the worst journalism I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, well, I write a column. It's more of like an opinion. It's like, no, but it still needs to factually be accurate.
Yes.
Okay. He writes about a woman he's never met. He doesn't make a single phone call.
And you know he doesn't, because the movie starts with him running around New York being like, I gotta think of a thing to write. I always write things like an hour before the deadline. Mm-hmm. So one, that's...
Okay.
I mean, realistic, but unprofessional.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, I can't really comment on that personally.
No, that's how writing gets done.
I feel like I do that all the time.
That's how writing gets done, but for his editor, that's got to be a fucking nightmare.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. Also, you could take a better point than, like, I hate all women.
Oh.
Which I feel like is so unearned also, because it's like, if you want this character in my mind to be like a redeemable character, I have to see kind of where this hate is coming from a little bit.
Sure.
And it felt really baseless.
I mean, maybe not baseless, but entirely ingrained at that point, right?
Like, okay, yes.
Like he's got his ex-wife or whatever. I think maybe we're supposed to think that's the justification of it.
What, so that he just has an ex-wife? Yeah, I'm like, she's like, lovely. She women, fired you when you needed to be fired.
Yeah, and brought in your friend for moral support. Like, what a...
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's... So, the bartender that he goes... When he goes into the bar, the bartender has such a sweet burn on him, which is just... For a good-looking guy, you sure do strike out a lot, which is just like hey, buddy, your personality is shit.
You have the best tools in the world, and you can't use them. You can't use them. You're all thumbs, man.
All this to say, he has not fact-checked this article at all.
Not?
Because he wouldn't have had time.
No, yeah, but not even for a second. He doesn't call anybody. And we find out very quickly after this that it was very possible for him to get in contact with all these people.
Yes. He, it
took
he
him no time at all.
Yeah. You know what you do in that situation? You go, huh, what an intriguing premise for an article or for a column.
Mm-hmm.
Only got about an hour before deadline, so I guess it's not that today. Mm. I'll just do a story about how this bagel shop has gone downhill. But man, how great would it be to have one in the chamber for tomorrow? You know?
Yes. Just walk around a little longer. You'll see something. This is New York, baby.
You're done. You're good. And like, because you know the relief where we've picked a movie far enough in advance and we're not scrambling to figure out what we're doing next week. Having one in the chamber it's such a good feeling.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's a little inside baseball. Anytime we end an episode with, we got a really good one coming up for you next week. Make sure you check it out. Yeah. It's because we forgot to have a conversation before we started recording.
Maybe I say the wrong day. Maybe we don't know. Maybe we're falling apart over here.
But we're not. I was going to say, but it's not like we're just going to commit to doing a movie that we've never researched or seen. But that's exactly what we're doing right now.
This is literally what we're doing right now.
Oh God, we're no better than him.
Although when it's been voted for, I'm always listen, I've been forced into this.
The wisdom of the crowd is what it is.
Yes.
So yeah, he's a bad journalist.
He's atrocious.
Yeah.
He's atrocious. Even the tactics he uses later in the film to get his information, I would say, highly unethical.
Unethical, yeah.
He's stalking this woman. He shows up to her dad's house or her grandma. I don't know whose house that is. Anyway,
yeah.
Her family's house, gets them drunk, gets information from them, starts hanging out with all of her friends. Like, I'm like, this guy, this is so creepy. Also, you have your info.
Yeah.
Like, you needed to talk to like three people and you're good.
You're done.
Yeah.
It's like, and maybe there's a version of this movie that is more charming.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think there is a version of this movie where Ike is, one, not a blatant and open misogynist from the beginning, right? Where he goes, I need a story.
Mm-hmm.
I think the story is about, like, I heard about this woman, so I'm going to go to the town and get the real story. And I think the story was this, but I've fallen in love with her, and it turns out the story is this. Like, that's nice.
Yes.
But this is, they frame this as he loses his job for writing this article because it has no facts. And, like,
and it wasn't Maggie's fault that there were no facts in there.
No.
It's not her fault.
No.
That's your fault. That's on you.
And then his best friend is like, so maybe you didn't get the facts right, but at least I think you were on point with fuck this woman you've never, like, not like, you know, like, let's destroy this woman sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think you were right about her being a bitch, basically. So I'm going to hire you for this magazine so that you can go and destroy this woman's life in person.
Yes.
Like think about that from Maggie's perspective. She's just a small town woman,
mm-hmm.
right? Runs a hardware store for her parents. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, some guy just writes a slanderous article about you. You've never met this guy. You don't know how he knows you. And then when you complain, he then shows up in town, like basically threatening to ruin your upcoming marriage.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you climb out of that hole. Like, I don't know how he ends up being the guy at the end of that.
Oh, I just, yes, I just don't think it worked. I just think cinematically it did not work the entire time. When he says, let's have a wedding, like, let's get married instead, I started screaming in my house. I was like, no, this can't.
No.
No, no. And also, fundamentally, I don't understand why anybody is that obsessed with marriage, I guess.
Sure.
Like, the concept, doing it, like, why, like, you haven't even lived together yet. You don't know how this woman really takes her coffee.
You kissed once.
Yeah. Oh, man. We gotta have a tumble in the old hay sack there, okay?
Yeah.
We can't be going out. I don't even know what your dick looks like, Ike. Okay? Damn, dude. I'm not saying that's going to determine anything. I'm just saying I got to take a peek.
Yeah. There is
forever.
There's a lot of unknowns here.
Yes.
For a woman who is quite clearly afraid of commitment.
And why is that? I'm sorry. I don't think that's as big of an issue as they paint it to be. I'm like, why does that matter? Other than the fact that you have the most expensive exit strategy I've ever seen.
Yeah, man. Like, fucking.
Woo!
I think everybody gets one. You know, I think,
oh,
like, leave at the altar sort of situation. You don't have to use it, but we'll forgive.
Listen,
one.
Listen, as somebody who used to be engaged, let me tell you, I knew very firmly, I was like, I'm not going to start spending money until I'm 100% ready.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not doing this. I'm not. Although I feel like, because this is so bad, But I feel like if I got there, I'd buckle. I'd just be like, I'm going to do it anyway. we'll figure it out later.
Because the thing is, it's not a life sentence.
No!
Not really, right? Yeah. You could be like, we could get divorced.
You know what I would say is worse than divorce? Running away from three weddings.
100% that is worse. That is...
Like, that's way worse.
Like, there is... Like, there's a sort of thing where you're like... You know the people who have stories about like, well, my third husband or my sixth wife.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, if you marry that person, it's never going to work out. Like they don't believe, you know, they're not in marriage for it to last.
I'm like, oh, maybe you could fix that.
No. But you know, it's my fourth wife and I'm her third husband. It's like, that's not a marriage that's going to, if that is you and it is going to work out, fine. But you know what I mean? Like no one's going to be betting on those marriages.
Oh, no. I would say the odds.
Go ahead and get married
if
you want.
The odds are stacked against
exactly.
you, probably.
But at least they know that. At least they're being like, yeah, we go in, we get married. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that we can just throw away at any point.
Yes.
And we both believe that. But for it to be I have run away at the altar three times, unconscionable. Like that, you don't want to get married then.
Yes.
Stop
saying
yes.
Fine. That's
fine.
Okay.
Can I just say, I think her and Coach Bob have a pretty good relationship as they are. Just continue on.
He's a little intense for me, but yes.
Like in the grand scheme of things, that is such a minor thing.
Oh no, for sure. Oh, is he better than this shitty journalist? Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely he is. But you know, love the third option.
He's sitting there saying, like, okay, I know you've had problems with this before, so we're just gonna visualize it. I'm gonna help you. We're gonna do a second rehearsal to help you get through. You're kind of rolling your eyes, but like, if
no,
you
no, no,
need
I'm sorry,
help,
I'm rolling my eyes just because like that scene is one of the worst scenes I've ever seen. It's not what you're saying. I'm sorry,
but you know what I mean. Like that's generally helpful.
Yes,
he's very confident. He's like, I know this works out. We're the one. You're excited about going on this like honeymoon to the Himalayas where we're gonna hike. Like this is cool. He's very supportive and trusting person, and to the point where this is another point of villainy. Where that is absolutely a guy who has had some hands-on planning that wedding.
Oh, he probably planned the whole thing.
Right?
This woman probably breaks out in hives if she looks at a bouquet of flowers.
Exactly. So he's just like, that's a man who's taking everything off her plate. It's like, you don't want to pick the venue because it stresses you out? That's fine. I'll take care of the venue. You don't want to take care of the music? That's fine. I'll take care of the music. Which means that Ike steps into a wedding that another man has planned. Huh.
It's gross. It's not good.
You know, just be like, hey, you've got the thing. Maybe you don't. Maybe Bob wants his deposit back.
Now, Bob, now a point against Bob, I'm going to say, is that I don't think...
Played by SVU, Special Victims Unit's Chris Maloney.
There's a lot of people in this movie. There's a surprising amount of people in this movie.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Joan Cusack.
I love Joan Cusack. I love her so much.
But anyway, a point against Bob.
Point against Bob. I'm going to say I don't think Maggie proposed to him.
No,
he proposed to her.
Sure.
And I just don't think I'd do that. I don't think I'd do that. I mean, like, I would still be in a relationship with this person.
Yeah.
I would still go out with Maggie. We could go do trips, do whatever. But, like, I think if you've run away twice at the altar, maybe it's on you now. Maybe you decide if you want to get married to me, but, like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm even going to propose this.
100%. Yeah.
This is just my general vibe. This is how
you
I would
wait
do
till she brings it up.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know what?
Dropping hints. You know what I mean?
It'd be more convenient if we were married. Great. Let's do something. And also, we're doing something small. Let's go to City Hall. You know, let's go to City Hall. Let's do
when
this.
When she
if
starts
we
describing
do
what she would want, when she's like, "Oh, I'd want it to be like in the middle of the day, nobody's there," and I'm like, "Have you not said anything at any point?"
Yeah.
Do these men not know you at all? And I know that was kind of supposed to be the point. It's like they don't ask, and it's like, I don't think that we should hinge this all on eggs. There's this weird egg theory. Okay. The egg thing.
The eggs. Let's talk about
the eggs. Okay, so Ike walks right in, and he asks this one weird question to each of her exes. And it's, how do you like your eggs? Or how does she like her eggs? How does Maggie like her eggs? And every guy answers, she likes them the way I like them. And it's like, you know, scrambled with dill, it's poached, it's fried, it's whatever. It's different for every guy. I'm going to say that's a nothing find. I'm going to say that's nothing. That's literally nothing. Yes. Do you know how I order food most of the time? Oh, that sounds good. Let's do that. Yes. I'm going to get that.
Yes.
I do it all the time. And it's not because I'm like blowing in the wind and I don't know what I like or whatever. It's because I honestly like everything. I like so, I can't find, it's hard for me to find a food I don't like.
Yeah.
I love to eat. I'm going to eat all that.
Yeah. Not having a strong preference for eggs.
For your egg
or
is fine.
Having it change throughout your life. Like, if you're like, you know what? I was always an over-easy guy. Mm. I was always an over-easy guy. Then I started dating my partner.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you'd love a good Eggs Benny, though. And I was like, really? I haven't really had Eggs Benedict because I was always over-easy. And then you try the Hollandaise, and you're like, this is the greatest thing alive. Now my order's Eggs Benedict.
Do you know how, if I'm cooking at home, do you know how the eggs are coming? All the same. That's how they're coming. Okay. Yes. All the same. Yes. I don't understand why this is a point for this guy.
I think there is I might know it now, but there was definitely a point in my life where I didn't know what the alternatives to over easy were. Like, that's the only.
Dude, I used to work at a brunch. I've worked at several brunch restaurants, but I used to work at one that was like a little, you know, a little hipstery, whatever.
Sure.
And
they serve your water in a mason jar.
Yeah, pretty much. What the fuck was my... So we would have, like, people... I don't know. People come in. They're a little... I would say bougie or clientele or whatever.
Sure.
And I was talking to this... I was like, how would you like your eggs? And she was like, I would like them, like, over, like... like medium rare. I was like, what? I was like, the best I could do for you is maybe meat. I was like, over medium. We can, yeah. I was like, this is not a steak. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's an egg.
It's an egg. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I don't know. You hear it in the movies and it's always over easy.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, but I don't, I like it a little firmer than that. You're like, over hard? I don't know. Over medium, I guess. Is hard boiled?
No, you can say over hard.
Over hard?
Or, okay. Like, people would say that to me, and I would know what it means.
Rubbery as shit.
I was like, oh, man, you don't... At this point, you don't like eggs. I'm sorry, yeah. You just don't like them. You just don't... Just eat something else. It's fine. Okay, yeah. Nobody's mad
just
at you.
Just give me the plate of all the sauce.
The runny yolk is the best part.
Yeah, you need a little bit of run, so you dip your bread in.
I think I might be hungry. Anyway.
all this to say, do not base a relationship... on whether or not they have expressed a desire for one egg or not. Like, okay, but just quickly to spin off of this.
Yes.
Do you have a thing, like you're dating somebody.
Okay.
You're in a relationship. You go out to dinner or lunch or something together.
Yes.
Do you have a hang up? They order first. Do you have a hang up about ordering the same thing they do?
No.
Okay.
I don't have a hang up about that. I have food hang ups.
Right.
Like if, okay.
So, but like you looked at the menu and go like, oh, the cheeseburger looks amazing here. I'm going to get the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And then they order the cheeseburger. You don't feel weird about that?
Oh, I that's almost my default.
Oh, okay.
It's almost my default because most of the time if I'm out with somebody, if they've been here before, I just get whatever they get.
Because
I'm like, you've been here before. You know what's good, man. Like my friend, like, you know, my one Italian friend brought me to this Italian sandwich shop. I was like, obviously just get double whatever you're doing. Okay, I'm not out here trying to make decisions. You know what's good, dude. Like I almost prefer that to order whatever you're ordering. Also because some, especially if it's like early on in dating, I'm like, I never know how the bill's gonna go.
Right.
And I don't want you, I'm just so anxious about somebody thinking I'm like trying to get something out of somebody that I'm like, okay. I don't want to sound like, cause you, I don't know. I've been going on a lot of first dates lately and, that's probably not good. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So a lot of these guys, they kind of have the same complaint where they'll like show up on a date and then all of a sudden it's like, I want the most expensive cocktail. I want the lobster. I want this. I want that. What kind of car do you drive? And I'm like, oh God.
I guess from my perspective, I come at it from the, we're in a long-term relationship and that they'll take the order at the table and go back to the kitchen and be like, there's a couple out here ordering the same dish.
Oh.
They've been together so long. They don't even think for themselves anymore. But
we're at different points in our lives.
I have long since gotten over that because like I just realized, oh, we just have the same tastes in food, that literally tastes.
Yeah.
You know.
I had to break up with a guy once, not just because of this, but it really heavily bothered me. People with big food hangups kind of like, and I understand that that can be like an issue. You know what I mean? Like that can actually be, you know, like a problem for you or whatever. But like some people, like I was dating this guy and he would be like, okay, I don't want the food to touch. And I only want ketchup on my burger, nothing else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think I can do this.
Just a big messy plate of Indian food mixing
like,
it
I
all
just
up
can't, you know what I mean? Like when I go get my coffee and they're like, what kind of milk do you want in it? I say, what is closest to your hand? That's what I say. What's closest to you?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
I am a strong believer that everybody, once again, this I'm realizing is a core philosophy. Everyone gets one. Like you have one food, not allergies related, that you can be like, I'm just going to nope out of that every single time.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it's like eggplant.
Oh, I love eggplant.
Everyone tells me that. And it's the grossest, squeakiest.
I want to cook you eggplant now.
It's no taste, all texture.
I make a great eggplant lasagna.
Everyone says that.
I make a great eggplant lasagna. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, you get one.
You get one.
As an adult,
you get
one.
And I start fighting you on your one. I'm like, no, bend to my will.
But that's the thing that people do with your one. Because they go, well, then you haven't really had good eggplant parmesan. It's like, I have.
I have. I just don't like it. That's fair.
It's a medium for me.
That's fair. I think.
All this to say.
We talked about food for 5 fucking minutes.
It doesn't matter. I think the true villainy. It's not that she bends to their will.
Oh,
or
I don't think that matters.
The real villainy in her is she kept all the engagement rings.
It is weird. It's weird. It is weird to keep all of them and then show them off afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like maybe those should have gone back, or at least one or two of them.
But they even say the wedding gifts too, right? It's like people have they've kept the wedding gifts when the wedding didn't happen.
I don't think you could do that.
No,
I think that's against policy.
If I'm going to that if I'm going to that woman's third wedding and I'm bringing a gift, first of all, it's cash, and
second of all,
I'm holding on to that envelope until after the ceremony. You know what I mean?
Oh, our friend, I've got Allie Pierce, who's a very, very funny comedian in Toronto. She has a joke about how for weddings, she started post-dating checks. You only get it if you get past this certain like monthly mark or whatever. Yeah. I was like, yeah, these bitches need this. That's what these people need for sure. Yeah, no, you can't. You can't be keeping those gifts. Maggie, let's start talking about Maggie.
Yeah.
First of all, Maggie Carpenter, who works at the hardware store. Wow. Spent all night on that one. Jesus fucking Christ. I actively cannot with that name, Maggie Carpenter at the hardware store. I was like, we're not even.
Yeah.
we're not even trying out here. Anyway, okay, so her, what are her problems? She has so many. First of all, stop trying to get married. Nobody needs that. You don't need to do this.
You're a common law gal.
Oh, big boy. big time. You should wake up one day and be like, oh, damn, we got some paperwork in the mail. Like, that should be it. We're done. Roll credits.
You want to file income tax together this year? Done.
Yes. Now, she has this, and I think she does make a good point when she starts talking about how she's like, it's not all these men, it's 50% my fault also that these men don't know me as well as I think they should know me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really great point. And I would argue that percentage is probably different than what she thinks it is.
I think it's probably 70-30.
Yeah. Like, I think some of these guys are too into their jobs or whatever. Okay. This coach loves whatever. He loves coaching. He's got a very... Sometimes you see it in relationships. I've seen it with my friends or whatever. Sometimes you have one person's personality that'll kind of, they'll take over a bit.
Yep.
They're like, I have such strong hobbies and ideas on the world and what have you that I kind of overshadow kind of what you want.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the case here. But it's also really, really on you to be like, hey, I don't want to do this, instead of just constantly convincing yourself that you do want to be doing this.
Right, because from their perspective, there is a certain expectation that when I ask you if you're okay with this or if I ask you if you want to do this, that you're going to tell me the truth, you know, or you're going to speak up for yourself. Because it's not, like, communication isn't always 50-50, you know what I mean? It's not like we'll do what we want to do one day, it's like, hey, I'm going hiking. Do you want to come? And you go, well, I want to spend time with you, so I'll go. Well, and then you go, you have to say, but I don't really like hiking.
Yeah, that's on you. You have
if
to.
If you never say that,
if you
second
never say
part,
it, how? Yes.
Then you can continue going. It's like, well, every time I ask if you want to go hiking, you say yes. We always seem to have a good time. Why would I think for a second that you don't like hiking?
You gotta speak on it.
Like hiking the Himalayas is such a big jump that she has never spoken up about not enjoying hiking.
Oh,
you
don't
like, start with the Himalayas.
No, you got to like train for that. Like, it's like a big fucking deal.
They have had weekend excursions to other like national parks and mountains and things like, you know what I mean? Like, that's been the thing in their relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, this entire relationship has been built up on sharing an activity that you don't even like. That is so on you.
Oh, big time. Big, big, big time. And like, okay. And I kind of want to get into her friends just a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, so there's several scenes where they all kind of like make fun of her or whatever for, you know,
for running away from the altar three times.
And it is sad. She's like, oh, I'm sad about, you know, like whatever. This ball, she's trying to be fine about it, and then she kind of snaps halfway through because, like, Ike comes to her defense because she doesn't know what she wants, and another man is telling her exactly what she wants and how she's feeling.
It's a man telling her that she doesn't know what she wants and that he knows what
he
she
knows
wants.
I can tell you're upset. Woo! Woo!
That scene bothered me the most, where he comes to her defense. First of all, if I ran away at the altar three times, you bet your ass that my friends and family are going to ride me on that forever, as they should.
Yes. I call this soft interventioning. So I call this soft interventioning, where I have some friends with some problems, obviously. And, you know, you try and speak to them seriously about whatever, they're not having it. Well, now I'm just going to rip on you forever for this until you stop.
Right.
Because I still want to be your friend, but I can't not say this because you need to know you're wrong still.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that's fine.
Yes. There's a certain... And the thing is, it's not even mean-spirited what they're saying.
I would say maybe a little mean-spirited.
Okay, yeah.
But, okay, my counter-argument to this is... The solution to that isn't yelling at your father and being like, well, you know, I don't like that you're drunk all the time. Like, those are two actually separate conversations
completely
that need to happen. Okay.
Yes. This is not the zinger you think
no!
of.
No, no, this man needs assistance. Okay. You also need some sort of assistance as well. But it's different.
Probably related.
But I gotta tell you,
why would I always feel like I need attention from a man and always cow to what they want, and my father being drunk all the time?
Yep.
Why would those be related? Anyway. I wonder where my fear of commitment came from.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, yes. So, like, that's not how a proper argument works. Do you know what I mean? If I'm in an argument with somebody and I'm like, oh, you don't like the way I lie? Well, you're always leaving the seat up. And it's like, what the fuck?
I don't leave the seat down. I lie about putting it.
You know what I mean? Not the same.
No. And here's the thing. The other thing I really hated about that scene where he stands up for her. Ugh. First of all generally pretty lighthearted. Like street joke kind of ribbing you. But those are also her friends and family. And there is a sort of thing where the people that you've known the longest probably know where your limits are the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, you and I would have a relationship where I could joke about things I wouldn't say joke about to, like, just a person I'd known for 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And you would be like, Craig.
Ah, my buddy.
Yeah, you got it. And, like, so... There's a limit that is known by your close friends and family. This guy,
absolutely.
This guy comes in, having known her for only a couple weeks, and stands up in front of
a couple
everyone,
weeks is very generous.
Yeah,
and I think it's like a week.
Yeah, and goes, why is everybody being so mean to her? And that is the thing that changes the temperature in the room, right?
It really, yes, it's it
the,
does.
It's the like you're idiots. You don't realize what you're doing is mean, and you go, okay. We were all working within those boundaries that we have established over many, many years. But the fact that you're broadcasting that it's cruel is the thing that's going to make us feel bad. And it's going to put an awkwardness in the room. And it's going to make her feel bad. Because it's no longer... It's up to her to say, well, no, 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 that's not mean or you're wrong. You know, like...
Oh, yes, it's totally her call. Also, it's totally hypocritical. This guy has this opinion. He's like, oh, you're ripping on her right in front of her. I'm like, do you know what your job was? Ripping on people publicly.
Yes.
That you don't know.
You ripped on her.
That you have no boundaries
having
with.
Not
you
met her at all.
You literally dunked on this woman repeatedly. 15 times wrong, to be honest.
Because a drunk guy said something to you
whispered,
in a bar.
Licked your ear and told you a limerick. I can't. I can't.
Yes, you can't come in knight in shining armor being
absolutely
like...
Absolutely not.
No, you are covered in shit.
Yes.
Your
yes.
armor is smells to high heaven of horse manure. It's in your codpiece. It's
absolutely. And like, okay, so how,
oh, and
how
then
do
for
we...
that to end with a man being like... you said it perfectly, like...
What, this is how you feel about this?
Yeah. You let men tell you how to feel.
You let me tell you how to feel. Yeah. Oh. These other men didn't know how you feel. I know how you feel. Let me tell you.
They don't know what they want. They just tell you what they want. Here's what you want. I know what you want.
And this movie really starts with, I'm going to call it... I would say just a... Just a whisper of some incel energy, I gotta tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Just like some really textured, like unwarranted, absolute woman hate. They're all like banshee. I don't know. Like,
yes, I completely agree. And the distinction I would make is you said earlier that he's kind of, we need to sort of see why he feels this way. So he has a path back to redemption.
Mm-hmm.
So like there is a version of this and like, I hate to call it like light misogyny, right? Where you go, well, no. Where,
no,
like,
I love it.
He's had a bad relationship.
Okay, yeah.
And because he hasn't had the tools to deal with that, he's sort of painting in broader strokes, right? Which I think is maybe kind of your intro to, right?
Yeah.
Where you go like, don't you just hate it how all women will cheat on you? It's like, no, you hate that.
Sandra cheated on you.
It's like, well, you know, all women are this. Well, they're not. But you can sort of see how there's the temptation to paint in broad strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to many, many things, not just this, right?
Especially stand-up comedy.
Sure. And there's a difference between that and what he has written, which is this deep-seated, almost manifesto-like
thing, yes.
Where it's like, so I wouldn't even say it's like incels. Like borderline incel, I would say it's very much getting there, or it's in the wheelhouse, or it's like super adjacent, right?
Yes.
Where it's like, because here they read portions of the article that he writes at the beginning, where he goes, yes, I write bitter rants about women. Yes, I peddle in stereotypes, but how can you blame me when the stereotypes are all true? First of all, if you're ever reading, the stereotypes are all true. Little introspection's needed. But he's like, the mother, the virgin, the whore, the crone, women elbowing you on the subway, stealing your cabs, and overwhelming you with perfume in the elevators. You go, Jesus. Like, there's no coming back from that.
No.
And so he's like, so I would like to add a couple new players in this. And he says, the man-eater, Maggie Carpenter. So not only is he, like, ragging on a woman he's never met, he's casting this woman as the prototypical stereotype. I don't know if that makes sense. Prototypical stereotype. the thing that you form the term around.
Yes.
You know, like, there's, yeah, in biology, there's, like, the species that, like, this is dog.
Mm-hmm.
So we put dog. Yeah, it's so far into that, like, you should not be in a relationship ever until you've had a hell of a lot of therapy, deep-seated manifesto style misogyny there. It's unhinged.
Yes, his big turning point is supposed to be him talking with his ex-wife, being like, did I not see you? And she's like, no, you didn't see me. And he's like, oh, wow, I have grown as a character in such a way.
I see people now.
I see vaginas. Like, I see the person around the vagina now. I'm like, whoa, whoa, you create your own words and thoughts and shit. And you walk around, you're having your own emotions. Yeah. And
whoa,
just blowing my mind.
Do you know how bad you have to be for women to just walk up to you on the street and slap you? And happening to him constantly at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
old ladies recognizing him and hitting him with his bag.
Straight, yeah. I won't even get into it, but there's a couple of court cases in the United States where, you know, the man gets away or whatever. And I'm like, I hope you get bitch slapped everywhere you walk. You son of a bitch. I hope you're getting your shit kicked everywhere you go.
Yeah.
You fuck. I love it. Let's talk about, we should briefly talk about her friends, right? They're pretty...
Yeah.
We got Joan in there. What are your feelings on... I think her name's Peggy.
I mean, first of all, I love Joan Cusack.
Spread her on a cracker. I love her. I love Joan Cusack.
My favorite of the Cusacks. I'm going to just...
What? Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I think me too.
I think Peggy might be the only one who gets, like, 100% nails Maggie.
Yes.
Like, because there's the scene... at the baseball game, and it's revealed that Maggie used to date what is now Peggy's husband.
Yes.
And, like, they're kind of flirting out on the field, like, visually, and, like, Peggy gets a little upset about it. And then...
she mostly gets upset because of what Ike says to her, you know what I mean? Like, he kind of eggs her on to it, like, are you okay with it? Like, all this kind of stuff.
She's gonna steal your husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they kind of have, like, a good heart-to-heart about it, where Peggy basically tells her, it's like, you have an issue where you just need attention from any man, however, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why you're in the situation you're at. She's like, I'm not worried about you and my husband. I'm just worried about you. Like, it's like,
that's cool. A good friend.
Yeah.
Honestly, that speech she gives her, I'm like, this is, like, tough but fair. And that's what you want from a friend, right?
Yeah.
You want something honest, but not too, I don't know. I think she handled it perfectly.
Yeah.
I think she said exactly, because, like, no offense to anybody, but, like, we all know that friend, right? We've all kind of had a friend like that or whatever, where you're like, here she goes again, you know what I mean? But, like, it's nothing most of the time. It's just like, I need this attention. I mean, kind of ironic that I'm saying this as a stand-up comedian, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I understand.
We all need attention. There are healthy ways to get it, and there's unhealthy ways to get it. I did really like Peggy's speech about mysterious versus weird versus quirky.
Oh,
she's
yes.
She's like, no, I'm not quirky. You're quirky. I'm weird.
I'm weird, yeah.
Yeah, and like for that to be between... Joan Cusack and I forgot her name. Jesus.
What's that?
Who's the actress in this movie?
Julia Roberts?
Julia Roberts.
Jesus.
I kept pulling Louise Dreyfus for some reason. I don't know why. That's just where my mind went for 1 minute. Anyway. Okay. Anyway, for it to be between Joan Cusack and Julia Roberts, like the conversation between you're quirky,
yes,
and I'm weird, I was like, that's the perfect casting for that.
Oh, it is. It is. Yep. Yes. Yeah. You're both still hot, but it's different. Yep. It's different types.
It is different. I will say, Julia Roberts, there is something crazy infectious about her, like, cackle, is what I call it.
Where she goes, oh, no, this is like prime time Julia Roberts.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Where she like falls back with the backpack and is like, ha-ha! And you're like, oh, that's weirdly charming.
Oh, I understand why all of these men have fallen in love with Julia Roberts.
Yeah, especially okay. Small town.
Woo!
That Julia Roberts is a small town 12.
Easy. Yeah. She's a small town 12. No questions. Yeah.
No questions asked.
I think that's it. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if I. Do you have anything else?
No, I would say they're both horrible, horrible people.
Yeah, I don't. We didn't really go into like. I don't know. They're all just the worst.
Villains,
I don't know how to tell you that.
Right. But yes. Here's the thing: is from Ike's perspective, Maggie is supposed to be the villain because she's the harpy who has ruined his career, and I should just be able to print lies about women.
Yeah.
With no repercussions at all.
Mm.
And from Maggie's perspective, this is a man who's written horrible things about her in the news. From Ike's perspective, she's ruined all these men's lives, and he's right about that. From Maggie's perspective, Ike is a self-centered asshole who's harassing her and her family on the street. Like, it's just, they're both villains to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me which one was right, like if I lived in that town and I was like, whose side are you on? I'd be like, none of them. They both make good points about how the other person is a horrible, horrible person.
Yeah.
You know?
I think so.
And it can be both.
Case closed.
Case closed.
Okay. So it sounds like it's time for our rankings. What do you got for us, Craig?
So I've got the running scale.
Great.
Running scale. So on a scale from a jog to a marathon, I'm going to give Ike and Maggie, I rank them both.
Yes.
A meandering. You know the people who like are on the sidewalk and they like walk side by side.
Oh yeah.
But it's like enough space so you can't
do
get around.
Do you like
them.
Each other? What's going
what's
on?
What's going on? And every step they take, they move as far left and right as they do forward.
Yeah.
So like nobody can get around. That's what I'm giving them. Because they're both assholes who are oblivious to what's going on around them.
Perfect. Oh yeah. Absolutely. I've got the places to break up with a person scale. From at the park with a nice coffee, which I think genuinely is a very good place to break up with somebody.
Yeah.
To a McDonald's bathroom drunk, I am going to give both of them a breaking up at your niece's sweet 16. Sweet Jesus, why? Don't do this. Don't be together. Don't bring your family into this. It's terrible. Go to therapy, please. Third option. Anyway,
third option.
That's it. And guys, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, as always, there's a couple ways you can help out the podcast. If you would like to follow us, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter. Villain Was Right on Facebook, and villainwasright@gmail.com. If you want to email us suggestions, you guys have also been messaging us both personally, which is great. If you've messaged me or Craig, your suggestion has gone into the list. Don't you worry. We've got it. We have a running total with so many fucking movies on it. And we're going to try and get to all of them. But, you know, we're doing our best. And if you have a couple of bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. If you're unaware of what Patreon is, it's a monthly subscription service where you get benefits from the artists that you support, including us. Like this benefit, for example. This is an audience choice episode we're doing this month. So every month, our patrons get to vote on what movies they want us to see. So Runaway Bride, was it this month? And would we have done it without you? Maybe not, because we had never seen it before.
I had never seen this movie. So thank you so much.
So maybe you wanted us to cover another movie. Have your say by signing up at the Two-Face tier over at patreon.com/thevillainwasright. And we have other tiers with other benefits, including ad-free episodes for $1 a month. So check that out. As well, a little just side note, I think we have TikTok now.
I think.
We do. We've got an account. One video is up there as of right now.
Oh, my God.
We'll be posting some clips of that. So check us out on TikTok. The Villain was right there. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got a small villain right now.
Great.
My villain of the week is time. Just the passage of it. Because as we're recording, this is January 7th right now, today, as we're recording this. And I started this year out being like, I'm going to make more efficient use of my time. You know, I'm going to cut out all the things that don't add value to my life. I'm going to do the things that I want to do. I'm going to make time for the things that are important to me, like exercising and writing and that sort of thing. And I went out for coffee with our friend Tracy, and we both had a good conversation for like, this is the year. We're going to get our shit together. We're going to organize our schedules. We're going to get so much done. And we are now, January 7th, I am now a week into this, and I have burnt myself out already. I have eliminated no tasks from my schedule.
Hey.
I have to do all of them. I've just added things, given myself no room for breaks or breathing. And I don't know how I'm so bad at this. I don't know how every attempt to organize life in a way that makes sense ends this way every single time.
I think for me, it's when my list gets too long. So I have to break it down into much smaller tasks. So if my list gets too long, not that this is your problem, I'm just saying it's mine.
Yeah.
I just three things at a time.
Yeah.
Only three things. Yeah. And I don't care how long the other list looks. I just write down three things for the day and I go, those are the things I've got to focus on. And that's it. Because if I look at the whole list, I will do zero things.
Yes.
Because I'm overwhelmed.
Well, I'm still doing lots of things and then I'm just like exhausted at the end of the day. And it's just,
I think that's
the
fair.
The constant struggle of being a human.
Christmas always tuckers me out. I can never hit January 1st with the ground running. There's no way. I just can't.
I didn't even mean it to be January 1st. I was just like, I've got some time off. Mm-hmm. This should be a free week. And then I was like, oh, this isn't a free week at all. There's so much to do. Anyway.
Oh, guys.
Being a human.
Yes. Okay, guys. Listen up, team. Listen up. Okay. My villain, it's a villain. My villain of the week is fucking hives. I got to tell you, I don't know what's going on with me. If anybody has this issue, because I actually saw another comedian post about this and she's having the exact same issue I am. I've been having hives for like a month now. Probably easily a month. I think maybe a little bit longer. I have changed everything. I have fasted for 24 hours to see if it was something I'm eating. I've changed my detergent, my soaps. I've tried not doing things. I've tried doing things. I've literally exhausted every area of my life. I am on Benadryl 24/7. I am very sleepy times. And I need, if anybody has this issue and solved it, let me fucking know. I'm snapping. I am itchy all the time. All the time. And it's like mostly my hand. It's actually my whole body. But like I would say it really tears up on my hands. And I am, God, you know, I want to get to a place where somebody can see me naked again. That's all I'm saying, guys. Okay. Like I'm all splotchy. I'm all hived up. And I need help. So if anybody has this issue, I was just like, I'm sending out the bad signal. Okay. I need help. If anybody, message me. If this has happened to you and you had a solution, or if just the solution is what I'm doing, if you're like, listen, you just got to take Benadryl till it stops, Fucking so be it. Anyway, that's my villain of the week. I'm fucking snapping. I'm so sorry. Next week, we'll have to... I had a fun story for you. Don't worry about it. Here's where we're at. I'm snapping. Okay.
Stay tuned, everyone. We got some really fun toy commercials for you.
Stay tuned. Anyway, guys, as always, if you would like to follow me on anything, you can follow me or message me about Ives at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, CraigFaye.com for show dates. I'll actually be in Ottawa at the Absolute Comedy there in February, so check that out for dates. And that's it for us this week. Make sure you tune in next week where we'll be covering The Lego Movie.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah, that's right. So make sure you tune in for that. Otherwise, that's us. Thank you so much for listening. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to run, you fools.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.